Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, let's roll out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't stop by there yet to check out yesterday's blog, get on over there now, see what's going on. Well, maybe wait till after the podcast, but head on over there, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at So, all right. Well, as you know, we rolled out Dan's drive-in yesterday, and he has informed me that we have a tie. So I honestly think, Dan, just the best way to break the tie is tell us what movie you're going to watch. We had a tie between Remember the Titans and Glory Road. Since you're the guy who's got to watch the movie, tell us which one you want to watch, and we'll go with that.
Should we default to the no votes? I guess I'll go with Remember the Titans.
All right, so there you go. We'll lock that in and get our review hopefully when Monday rolls around. But hey, you get to watch a Denzel Washington movie.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
So that'll work out for you. I think the last Denzel Washington movie I saw was Equalizer 2. There you go. All right, so there you go. Dan's, well, I guess you can't say winner because it was our first tie. But, yeah, he's going to go with Remember the Titans over Glory Road. Maybe Glory Road will win next week. And we still got the rookie hanging around there for the third or fourth week that just can't get any love from our voters. So maybe one day we'll get it off the board, but thank God we didn't have to have Rookie of the Year again. So I hate that movie. All right. Well, here we go, Dan. I was kind of joking with you a little earlier, but about 6 hours ago, ESPN or the Mickey Mouse Network and the MLB Network reported some breaking news that apparently the Red Sox and the Dodgers are in deep discussion involving a trade for Mookie Betts. The disappointing part for me about this is for the last 6 hours, they've reported it as breaking news, and I don't understand how it can be breaking news once you've broken it. So we'll have to see how that works out. Again, that's just kind of my pet peeve on all of this. I haven't seen or heard a lot of players' names. Apparently, the name I saw from the Dodgers is Gavin Lux, who is the number two overall prospect in Major League Baseball. Apparently, the Dodgers would also include Alex Verdugo, which would make sense because if they're getting an outfielder, they don't need an outfielder. So that would be that big of a deal. I guess the more I read, the more I look into it, it kind of seems like the Red Sox want the Dodgers to take David Price and his contract as well. So it may be David Price and Mookie Betts going to the Dodgers for prospects. I guess the question, Dan, is will this stop the Dodger fans from crying and saying they didn't do enough?
I think so. I didn't realize they were upset.
Yeah, there's been quite a few upset Dodger fans in my Twitter feed that I've seen about how they've done nothing, you know, this off season, and they, you know, they can't believe they haven't done anything, and it's weird because unlike the Cubs and unlike the Red Sox, the Dodgers have actually tried to, you know, bring in pitching or sign a free agent or make a deal, and it just kind of hasn't went that way. And I'm thinking, you think these fans are a little spoiled now? They've had a nice run of success here. In reality, without cheating, we could be talking about a World Series win or two. You think they're getting a little spoiled and they're kind of forgetting that, you know, it takes two to tango and the Dodgers just can't call you and say, hey, give me this guy?
Yeah, I think they forget that, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the frustration.
So, and then there is, apparently there still seems to be minor movement with this Padre-Red Sox deal. I can't see the Red Sox being interested in taking Will Myers back in the deal because he's got $61 million left on his contract and they're trying to get under the luxury tax. So I just don't see that happening, you know, but you know, I guess there's still an outside possibility if maybe the Dodger deal falls through. You know, that he could end up a Padre, but you know, with the Dodgers prospects and you know, if they do, you know, if the Red Sox do land Gavin Lux, he's probably a plug in and play immediately at second base guy, because I know Dustin Pedroia got hurt again while rehabbing. So you know, the Red Sox could definitely use a guy there. And you know, Verdugo was a top prospect for a while who just couldn't find a place to play every day. I don't know if he'll get that chance with the Dodgers, with the Red Sox, but you know, you never know how these work out. I guess the question, Dan, is Boston getting enough here? You know, the number two prospect and a former prospect for Mookie Betts?
I would say no, but I mean, you know, this is one of the things I brought up many times.
Well, and remember, Betts is only signed through this year. He's a free agent at the end of the season 2020. So there's a chance he's only a Dodger for 1 year. How much are you going to actually give up for him?
I thought he had some kind of extension, but like, because he's done with somebody else. I think money is on arbitration, right? Was so huge. It sounded like a multi-term contract.
He actually agreed to a deal before arbitration. I don't remember what it. It looks like it's $27 million this year. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to run off, but if it was, you know, a multi-year deal, I would think the desperation kind of comes in hand that they know that they need to get rid of him. I mean, either way, I still think it's almost a fair trade, but it definitely would be in the Dodgers' way.
I guess it really depends how Lux works out, right? I mean, if he goes on to have a really good career as a Red Sox, well, then everything's fine. But if it turns out to be a bust, you know, you gave up a former MVP for who, you know, will probably go on and have another really good year. You know, I guess as it goes out, you know, there's been talk about Betts getting a contract, you know, anywhere from $300 to $350 million. Do you see the Dodgers doing that? I mean, obviously, they're one of the teams that can afford it. Oddly, so are the Red Sox. I don't know what the hang-up was with. They just got tired of paying the luxury tax, I guess. Do you, you know, if the trade is made, do you see him staying in Dodger blue for the long term? They give him the money he wants, he sticks around?
I wish the MLB had the staff a lot quicker because, you know, my kind of hang-up with signing him for a big-time long-term contract is the fact that he won the MVP on an alleged cheating scandal year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did too, didn't he? Jeez.
Oh, here it is.
So
actually, the app has it really easy, and I was overlooking the option at the bottom. So, I mean, that's what, you know, really bothers me, you know, because, yeah, you can look at his stats for 2019, where he had, you know, 295, 29 home runs, 80 RBIs, which, you know, I don't remember if he was out that much, but, you know, again, like you stated a million times, you know, 100-plus RBIs aren't really going to happen unless you're, you know, farther down on the line, but I just think they're not going to happen as much anymore because of the fact that guys are swinging for the fences. You know, his career stats so far, he's a 301 average hitter with 139 home runs and 470 RBIs, which is a nice little 126 stolen bases. And, you know, I wouldn't go back to 2014, but let's go back to 2015. He's got a good five seasons under his belt with, you know, a pretty solid career so far. So, I mean, it's just makes you wonder where they would want to go because he won the MVP and 346 batting average in 2018 with his, you know, career high so far of 32 home runs. But again, you know, it was during an alleged cheating scheme. So, you know, his numbers are highly inflated in 2018 as they are compared to in the rest of his career.
Yeah.
But you know what's not on, you know what's not on here? The MLB app for stats?
What?
War. So,
oh.
I mean, I can't determine.
Well, that's a...
Yeah.
But, well, you know, I mean, if he does land, though, in a Dodger uniform, I mean, you add him to the top of that order where you're looking at guys like, you know, Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger, and Corey Seager hitting behind him. You know, that's a pretty potent lineup. I mean, it would be interesting to see who they would start at second base with gone. But, you know, I mean, they could, you know, kind of Kiki Hernandez, Chris Taylor type of setup there if they have to. You know, I know they have a couple other prospects that are relatively close. You know, it looks like they have Omar Estevez, who's a little lower-rated prospect. It looks like he's going to be in AAA. You know, he's a second baseman. You know, their best shortstop prospect is, it looks like he's going to end up in Double-A. That's Jeter Downs. So, you know, they could go young there if they wanted. If not, they, you know, they have a veteran guy. And there still are some veterans, you know, on the free agent market if they wanted to bring in a Tim Beckham type guy to fill the role for a year or, you know, something like that. But I think they would still be a pretty potent lineup. And, you know, especially you drop Betts into it. And I just don't see them being challenged in the West. Do you?
No, I mean, but, you know, my hiccup though, again, is the Dodgers outfield. You know, where do you go from here? You've got Doc Peterson, Chris Taylor, A.J. Pollock, Alex Verdugo, and Cody Bellinger.
Well, you know, if you did get Betts, Verdugo would go away. So you would eliminate that. You know, Taylor's a utility guy, so you could move him around. I do wonder, you know, they they paid Pollock pretty big money. You know, and it's just kind of like, are they going to platoon him with Peterson? You know, because obviously you can't sit Bellinger and you can't sit Betts. So that's really your only other option, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, you know, there's not much of a difference in age. You know, Betts is 27, Bellinger's 24, Peterson's 27. You know, the oldest guy is A.J. Pollock at 32. So, you know, if they were to take him on, you've got to wonder, you know, who's going back to Boston.
You know, and I know, you know, there's been a lot of talk. I don't know if they're still interested after the signings they made, but the White Sox have tried to acquire Jock Peterson for the last 2 years. I don't know if maybe that could be something that could still happen with the moves the White Sox have made now, but I guess that could kind of be possible, and you know, that would free up a spot for Pollock. But you know, then you've got to wonder, can Pollock stay healthy? You know, I believe he's had one healthy season in his entire career. So, you know, you just got to kind of question it.
And the White Sox are trying to get Peterson?
Yeah, they've been trying for 2 years to land Jock Peterson in a deal.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, you know, looking at their outfield, I don't know if you want to move away from Eloy for any, you know, sort of time. Adam Engel is a solid guy that I think you could turn around. Laurie Garcia in center and Luis Robert, you know, you kind of move from the quote-unquote old guys who Laurie and Adam are at 28 and Luis Robert's at 22. You know, and not to mention that they picked up Nomar Mazara in the offseason.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's why I wonder, you know, with the getting Mazara, I think may have killed off any real opportunity for them to go get Pearson, because, you know, I'm pretty sure their outfield is going to be Mazara, Robert, you know, Luis Robert, and then Eloy Jimenez. So, you know, and, you know, obviously signing Encarnacion eats up the DH spot, because he really, you know, I think he's 37 or 38. He's, you know, he's not going to be able to do anything else. Maybe play first base once every couple weeks to give Abreu a day off, but that, you know, that's really going to be about it. So I don't know, you know, I'm kind of looking at it as the White Sox have probably moved on from Peterson.
Yeah. I mean, is there any way that Peterson or Abreu could double up at third base?
No, because Moncada's playing third base.
Oh, I thought he was second base. They don't have a second baseman.
No, remember, they moved him over last year to third, and Yomer plays second. I don't quite know who's going to be the second baseman this year. I know the lineup I'm actually looking at right now has Lurie Garcia penciled in at second, but I've also seen some that have Danny Mendick starting there. You know, I mean, depending on how spring training goes and, you know, what the White Sox actually feel about him 2 weeks into the season, it could just be Nick Mandrigal's job and we won't be worrying about it. You know, that just may be how it goes.
Yeah, they got enough catchers, though.
Yeah, that's, you know, that again, that's why the Grandal signing kind of shocked me, because I thought they were grooming Zach Collins to take over. You know, he's been such a highly rated catching prospect. But, you know, Grandal signed, what did he get? How many years? Did he get 4 or 5 years?
Yeah,
so I guess.
After this year, isn't he?
So, yeah, well, he's only signed for the 1 year, you know, and I think they only brought him back because he had such a good year last year. So I don't know what they're, what they're doing. It's, they're prospects. You don't know what you're going to get out of them. So we'll see. But yeah, it makes for, interesting fodder. I'm wondering how long it'll take to work a deal out like this, or, what goes on and kind of comes into it, but we'll, keep up with it and see what happens. And, you got to look for, for Betts to be on the move somewhere. Looks like he's going west. And then we did see, I know, this signing matters to nobody else but you, and it involves me. Your guy Wei Ying Chin got a deal. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he got a deal with the Mariners. So he's headed to Seattle. What does it say here? Well, it looks like he's gonna make the minimum of $500,063.5 thousand. Yeah, whatever. Because the Marlins still owe him $22 million. So, the Mariners are getting a cheap look at him. I don't know what they're going to, if they'll use him as a starter or a reliever or what they'll take a look at. But, when I saw the name, I thought it was humorous because he was this guy. God, I don't remember how many years ago that was.
Well, I mean, from Baltimore down to Miami, and then, once he got hurt, and then the passing of, the young man down in Miami, it just kind of, his career fell apart down there.
Yeah, the injury really seemed to derail him. Because he had a couple really good back-to-back years with Baltimore, and, he got the big free agent money. And then he got that injury, and he just never got it. Well, then he got hurt again. I think he got hurt 2 years in a row. So, yeah, I know he pitched in relief last year, but he wasn't very good. 45 games with an ERA of 59. So, and obviously Seattle's only bringing him in because they're getting a look at him for basically nothing. But, who knows? Maybe he can find it. Change the scenery, get out of Miami, and, maybe it helps him out. The Mariners on a bit of a signing run here, Dan. They added another Japanese pitcher today. They signed that Yoshihisa Hirano, who, been pitching for the Diamondbacks the last couple years. Had a fantastic rookie season, 75 appearances with a 2.44 ERA. Last year didn't go as well. He pitched in 62 games, 75. So, they're adding some solid major league pieces for not a lot of money. Hirano got a guarantee for $1.6 million. With a $250,000 bonus that he can earn. So, a couple new guys there for the Mariners to take a look at. But the other signing news here that is local is, the one guy I wanted the Cubs to re-sign this offseason was Pedro Strop. And again, I'm the first guy to go on record saying that I hate him when he has to close. But as a setup guy, I think he's one of the best guys in baseball. Unfortunately, the Cubs did not listen to me. And Strop, it appears, I don't think this is official yet, but he got he's getting a one-year deal with the Reds for $1.825 million. I got to tell you, Dan, this is – the Cubs haven't done a lot, and I know they've added, I don't even know how to, let's call them journeyman veteran players, and they're hoping to find gold. I know yesterday or 2 days ago they signed that Jim Jeffress, who pitched for the Brewers for a couple years and was so bad last year, I think Milwaukee released him. But yeah, you know, they've added a bunch of veteran names like that, and I'm looking at a guy like Strope, who has really been good for them and, you know, stepped into the closing role when they needed him. Could the Cubs really not afford $1.9 million to bring him back?
Well, no, because they wanted to sign every single could-be major leaguer to play in their bullpen.
So, that just seems like, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, I know they're another team that they won't come out and say it, but they want to get under the luxury tax. Come on. I was wrong. It's Jeremy Jeffress, and I blew the name there. I'm kind of looking at these guys they're bringing in, and it's like, what are we hoping for here? I mean, you know, we bring back Brandon Morrow. Are we just kind of hoping he's going to stay healthy? You know, they signed Rex Brothers, who, again, you know what, again, we're just hoping he stays healthy. You know, and I mean, you go down these list of names, and it's literally like they're signing every bullpen name they can get their hands on that isn't going to cost them a lot of money, and they're just going to hope some of them work out and they can put something together.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're only roughly, you know, just over $4 million over the luxury tax. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but
right.
You know, they are only one of only four teams that can afford, and the tax bill, the luxury tax bill, is $1.2 million. So, I mean, you know, you could be like the Yankees paying $21 million. You know, so I would say you, at 257, you kind of have a payroll of 78 million. So it's not like they're that hard up for luxury tax, but you know, Theo's a big time draft pick prospect guy. So he doesn't want to be above that.
Yeah, it just seems, you know, in today's game, I mean, you look at it, it seems chintzy. You know, when you're talking about $1.9 million for a guy who's been a, you know, really top-notch quality deal for you. You know, and I know the ERA ballooned a little bit, but again, last forced him into not great at. You know, but he still picked up, I think he picked up 10 or 12 saves or something like that. So, you know, it's just, yeah, I don't know. It seems cheap.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all Ricketts' fault.
Yeah, you know, I actually saw the owner, they had an article about where it was that, you know, Ricketts didn't tell them they could spend money. So. Yeah, he blew their, you know, their defense there.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's just a nice scapegoat for him. You know, because he's got no other excuse.
Yeah, well, you know, what's the first thing you do when something's up? You point to the owner. Well, they said we couldn't do that. you know, you just kind of hope the owner doesn't respond. And, you know, unfortunately, the CEO and Jed, in this case, he did. So.
Oh, well, can you repeat that? Because I must have misunderstood you. What did Ricketts say?
Basically, he just said that he didn't prevent them from spending money.
Oh.
So.
Well, you know, and then the best part is, I don't know if the Cubs convention happened already or if it's, I'm assuming it did. But I don't listen to local radio anymore, so I don't keep up with that stuff. But, you know, it's just funny because that's a question that the Ricketts would avoid. At the convention.
Yeah, it was, I don't remember the exact quote. I just remember seeing that, you know, seeing that, he, you know, the headline was kind of, you know, saying he didn't prevent them from, you know, spending money, that, you know, he was okay with it.
Yeah, but again, it all goes back to CEO's smartest guy in the room kind of deals.
Yeah.
You know, he got, you know, I mean, put it how you want. You know, all the stars aligned, you know, all the little cliches with, you know, the pickups of Jake Arrieta and stuff like that. But, you know, now his chakras and his aura is all out of place. And I think whatever magic Theo had is gone. So the success he had in Boston, created here in Chicago, I think is over. Whether he stays here or, you know, moves on to another team, I don't think we'll see what he's done in the past happen ever again.
So, all right, well, how about this one, Dan? It's being reported by your good friend Jesse Rogers that the Cubs and the Rockies have actually discussed a Chris Bryant for Nolan Arenado straight-up exchange.
I would love to believe anything that he said, but I just find it hilarious that the beat reporters for both teams on this, or both teams, I guess you could say for the teams, I don't really listen to Chucky or whatever his name is for the White Sox, but these guys, for traveling with the team, knowing so much about the team, seem to not know anything and are always ill and misinformed. Because he's never, anything I've ever heard Jesse Rogers come out and say, when he does make a statement, never seems to really happen. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, you're CEO, you're going to say that the Ricketts don't want you to spend money, but then you're going to go take on that deal. And I'm sorry, but for all the Cub fans who really like this, you know, I think you're misinformed too. Because I've seen it a lot. I've seen conversations on this, and I, you know, the Cubs would be in another position where everyone's going to be upset, and at the end of this season.
Yeah, you'll be looking, if you did add Arenado, you'd be looking at adding $234 million that remain on his contract.
Over so, was it six? Was it 6 or 9 years?
I think it's, yeah, what is it, 7. He's got 7 years left on the deal.
I was close.
You know, and now, you know, my guess is, you know, in 2 years, Bryant will probably get a bigger contract than that.
Oh, yeah.
So, it may play out that the Cubs would actually save some money, you know, but again, and I hate to bring this up, but when you look at the stats, Arenado's splits were terrible last year, home and away. He really benefited from hitting in Colorado last year. Now, maybe he could do the same thing in Wrigley because it is a very good hitter's park. But, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do, but, you know, with if that's the truth, I mean, I really think that the Cubs realize that they ruined it with Chris Bryant, and they're really scrambling.
You know,
because this kid's going to turn out to be much better. He's going to continue to get better.
I won't be surprised if he wins another MVP in his career. That won't surprise me at all. So, but yeah, oddly, a lot of Cub and a lot of ex-Cub news. There's another report here. This one's from Bruce Levine, Dan. He said that the Cubs are now interested in bringing Scooter Gennett in. So you could add him to another one of those miscellaneous veteran signings. Remember, I think it was 2 years ago, you know, Scooter was the talk of baseball, and he had that breakout season. And then last year he pulled the groin, and he was so bad that the Reds actually released him. You know, he went to the Giants, was so bad with the Giants that they released him. So, you know, obviously, another guy who wouldn't cost very much to bring in. But, I don't know, you know, what Scooter Gennett are you getting?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going that route, what's Ian Kinsler doing these days?
He retired. He's the Padres front office.
Oh. I mean, why not just bring him out if you're looking for old guys to play the infield?
So, you know, I don't know. I think there's still, you know, probably a couple of other names on the free agent market than, you know, going out and voting. Jeanette may be the cheapest option, though, so that may be, you know, something they're looking at there, you know, because that seems to be the overriding theme this offseason for the Cubs is sign cheap players.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to make any knocks otherwise, but it all comes back to what I believe to be true. He doesn't want to continue to go over that luxury tax for only one reason. Draft picks.
Right. So.
Jason McLeod may be the head of player development, but aside from Chris Bryant and a little bit of Kyle Schwarber, what's really came up, you know, who's came up that's really been that successful? You know, you're going to tell me, why would you be looking at Scooter Gennett when you've got, you know, future Hall of Fame MVP or Nico Hoerner coming up, supposed to be playing next year? So is that out of the question? Or do you think he was just a fan that he played for 30 days and no one knew who he was? They had scouting on him.
Yeah, I guess that's the tough part is he really ready?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the big question you'd have to ask with Hoerner. You know, like I don't think it would hurt him at all to start the year in AAA, you know, and kind of see how it goes first. But, they're in a tough spot there. Your guy Daniel, so they've got Ian Happ, but, you know, David Bodie, I guess, could play as well at second base.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whether Levine, what he's heard is, you know, coming true or not, it's like, why do you continuously logjam? Why don't you just call Ben Zobrist, bring him back again?
Well, because
add another guy.
I'm still shocked the Angels haven't signed Ben Zobrist. I really thought that would be the first thing to do.
you got to wonder if Ben wants to continue playing with his family situation or not. But that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you were all about it last year, Cubs bullpen. What do they sign, you know, in baseball terms, of middle-aged middle infielder who is well past any kind of prime that he would have had? You know, and you want to bring in another guy who had a flash in the pan kind of a year, yet you've got nothing but youth on your side that are never going to continuously improve when they can't have any consistent playing time. Oh, no, but Ian Happ should be in the outfield. No, he should be in the infield. You keep trying these experiments, they're not working. I don't know if he drinks coffee in the morning, but he needs to wake up and smell something.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's an odd situation there, and I mean, it is disappointing. I really think this is a team we should have talked about winning multiple World Series titles, or at least contending to win multiple World Series titles. I know everybody is happy they finally won one, but, you know, this is kind of reminiscent of the 85 Bears to me. You know, I mean, that team dominated and did nothing afterwards. You know, the Cubs have been to the playoffs, but they've never really been World Series contenders.
No, and, you know, before I step away for a minute, I'm going to bring up Uncle Bob. I will never forget these words. Don't you, you know, when I was not crying, but I was definitely complaining about the 100-year, you know, 100-loss seasons. And, well, you know, wouldn't you rather have, you know, to suffer through the growing pains now and have a team that's successfully, have a successful, you know, playoff contending team. I'm like, okay, I guess I could see it your way that way. But now, you know, I never really bought into it, never believed that the whole thing that Atsio was doing would work. And it did for 1 year. And after that, you know, Theo killed Uncle Bob because they weren't a continuously playoff team. They went once, twice.
Yeah.
And a wild card, game doesn't count as a playoff team. So.
Okay, you don't count that. So, you know, that's terrible. But all right, as Dan. Dan heads off to his break time there. We'll move on here. Now, you know, I know we haven't, we haven't talked a ton of hockey here. I think a lot has to do with the fact that both mine and Dan's fantasy teams stink. But, interestingly, you know, I enjoyed the All-Star game. And a lot of the complaints I heard was a lot of people felt that Tomas Hertl of the San Jose Sharks should have been the MVP of that game. It was unbelievable the way, you know, like my Twitter feed blew up and, you know, all kinds of stuff that just went on with this. It was unbelievable. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't that into it. It wasn't that big a deal for me that he didn't win it. Unfortunately for San Jose, it was announced yesterday that Hertl is now done for the season. He suffered not only a torn ACL, but a torn MCL. It appears it happened when a Canucks defenseman, I'm going to probably screw this last name up, but I'm going to go with Chris Tanev, slid into him against the boards. So, yeah, just kind of kind of disappointing, because Hertl was having a really, really good season. He had, 16 goals and 36 points this season. Coming off what was his best year last year, 35 goals and 74 points. Obviously it's, you know, also going to affect the, you know, San Jose and the standings as well, as they battle it out for a playoff spot, because the Western Conference is kind of tight when it comes standing wise. Let me see where San Jose is right now. Yeah, they are 22-26-4. So they have 48 points. My guess is they are on the outside of the playoffs looking in here. Let me make the switch here and see where we are. And if my internet clicks on me now, I'm just going to be aggravated. All right, here we go. They are actually 9 points out of a playoff spot. So, yeah, I you know, losing him like that, that may just kind of stuck the fork into their season there. I don't know, you know, what they can really do to kind of replace that offensive production. And I don't believe I have him on my fantasy team. I'll have to go double check, but I'm going to kind of say no there. I would remember if I had him. Maybe Dan has him or something, but that's it's going to be a big loss for the Sharks. And I I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb to say they probably won't make the playoffs now, especially, you know, it was going to be tough with him, but without him, yeah, it's going to be even tougher. He was tied for the second leading scorer on the team, tied with Logan Couture. He had the second most goals and the second most assists. So yeah, you're looking at a bigger. Actually, no, I think he was a little farther down on the assist number here, because I missed Erik Karlsson, who has 32 assists. He's obviously the leader there. But yeah, it looks like he's fourth on the team in assists. Either way, you know, it's still going to be a huge mountain for them to replace. And, you know, I assume it might mean a little more ice time for Joe Thornton, but I just don't think that he's that type of guy anymore. He's only got 2 goals in 52 games. He does have 18 assists, so he's still getting his helpers. But I just don't see enough of it there. And, you know, and it's too bad, because Hurdle was kind of building a fan base with the, the All-Star game run and everything. And it's, it's tough. But, you know, sadly, unfortunately, there's always going to be quite a few injuries in hockey, because it's a very, very physical game. And it just kind of looks like, sadly, he's one of the ones. And, you know, it wasn't a dirty hit or anything like that. It's just one of those things that happen. In the course of the game. So, but we do have 3 hockey games tonight. Montreal's at Buffalo. That game has actually started. There's no score there in the first period. We got Nashville at New Jersey. That game's going to start in about 13 minutes. That's on the NBC Sports Network if you're interested in catching that. And then the night game tonight is the Kings at the Coyotes. I almost said the Diamondbacks. Every time I do that with the hockey teams, I don't know why. There you go. Just a short schedule tonight in hockey. But, yeah, if you're interested, the other 2 games, Montreal at Buffalo and Los Angeles at Arizona, are on the Mickey Mouse app if you have that. If not, you can grab the Predators game on NBC Sports Network in just a few minutes here. So, we'll see. You know, I know in some other just kind of quick injury news here, the Sabres goalie Lars Ullmark is going to miss 3 to 4 weeks with a leg injury. So I don't know if you have, if you're a fantasy guy or anything like that, but you can, possibly jump in and, pick up his backup or something, or, the second goalie on the team who's going to get a lot of starts there. So, we'll have to see. But, yeah, it's getting close to the trade deadline here for the NHL. They have a February 24th trade deadline. So, that'll be interesting to see if any of the bigger name guys, move around or what happens. But, like I said, sadly, I haven't been keeping up as much this year like I should have with hockey. And again, I honestly think it's just my fantasy is hugely disappointing. And the sad part is I thought I had a real good team. And I was really excited going into it this year, and good Lord, do I stink! I don't know what the heck happened to, happened to me. The weird part is I'm starting to wonder if maybe my, uh, my jinxes have carried over because I grabbed Johnny Gaudreau and I was really happy to land him. I thought he was going to have a really good year. And, yeah, I've just killed the poor guy. He's just been awful. So I don't know what I did to him.
Is he in – where is he?
Calgary.
Calgary. Wow. It's hockey's one of the hardest sports to keep up with sometimes with when the off season trades and you know the hard luxury tag.
Yeah, you don't have a. I was talking about being out for the year. You don't have him, do you?
Who?
Thomas Hurdle or Tomas Hurdle, depending on how you want to say it. So,
no, I don't have
him. Oh, okay.
I've got Ovi though.
You got the Sabres goalie who's out for 3 to 4 weeks now, Lars Ullmark.
No, yeah, I didn't. No, I don't have him, but I did see that he got hurt. I was actually watching the Predators Capitals last night. You know, when the Caps are on, I've got to tune in.
So, yeah, again, I don't know. You know, like I said, I really baffled. I thought I had a good team. You know, I was really kind of excited rolling into the year. I was really, really thrilled with some of the guys I managed to land. And, you know, I thought I had a really good goalie combination with, you know, Bobrovsky and Hart. And, yeah, no, I stink. So I'm kind of playing out the string to make sure my lineup is changed. And, you know, I hope I get lucky, but I'm in 17th place out of 20 teams. I honestly think there are some teams that have given up that are ahead of me. And I don't know how that keeps happening. So,
it's a lot different than when we first started the league. You know, when we first started the league, we had at least, I would say, what would you say, at least 12 solid players, you know, solid, I don't want to say, let's just say players, 12
yeah.
solid players. But now I think we're close. What?
12 solid owners.
Owners, there we go. So we had 12 solid owners out of 18 to 20. And then all of a sudden we went to like 18 to 20 solid owners. And not only that, we don't have fantasy players in this league. We have hockey fantasy players in this league.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I'm not going to say it's not killing the league. It's definitely killing you and I. But that's one of the cool things I've seen in the message boards is the fact that a lot of the people who've joined, especially this past off season, the fact that they love how competitive the league is, except for your one friend who we keep kicking out and then he makes up a new name.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you know, don't kill him this year. His wife did get sick. So we won't kill him this year. You know, we don't want to be those guys.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's just funny how it works out. But like you said, I think that the number 20 team and the 18, but it's been rough. You know, I've finally climbed out of the bottom and I'm at least in 16th place.
So you're one ahead of me.
you're
the guy I'm chasing.
I don't think the playoffs are in my picture this year.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely I am not a playoff team this year. Hopefully next year. I don't know, just one of those years, I guess. you know, luckily I seem to be having some basketball success. So I'm hanging around, you know, fifth or sixth or something like that. So I'm at least in playoff contention in that league. So maybe I will get, you know, one of these in, and pretty soon it'll be, you know, baseball season. And I think we're going to have to set up the one league because I made you commissioner, and we may have to rebuild the other league because Mr. Fantasy is commissioner in that, and I doubt he'll take the time to renew it. So.
No, I thought you made me the commissioner for both.
Did I? Okay, well, that would be good. That would save us from having to rebuild a league. So.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see and ask him to, if he is the commissioner, just to renew it. And then he
change it. Yeah,
it.
Give it back to me. So.
Yeah. I mean, I did give you competitive teams last year. You just boycotted. Big Jack, and I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, we're both in the barrel for the NHL, for the Hockey League. Which would you prefer, knowing that your team sucks and that you're not going to make the playoffs pretty much through the rest of the season, or the big giant tease that you are in third place until the very last week and you lose a game and you drop from third to 11th?
Sadly, I would probably rather drop from third to 11th because at least I was competitive. At this point, I just don't even feel like, you know, like my damn team is competitive. So.
Yeah. You know, it was rough. You know, I think your division, and one of the football leagues, I don't remember which one it was, but I think your division pretty much had four out of the five teams going to the playoffs. And then, you know, the way it worked out, I was in the weakest division. So it just worked out. I had a bad week the last week, and the guy behind me had a little bit of a better week. Our point differential was no more than, 5 points, but just the way the league worked out, you know, he went into the playoffs and the first place in your division gets that playoff spot. But if it wasn't set up that way, we wouldn't have been in it at all. So.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure there were people complaining about that, but I always believe that you should get something for winning your division. You know, I mean, we never know how the divisions are going to turn out. It's all random. So, you know, it's not like we set them up in any way, shape, or form. So it just kind of some years, you know, one division's really good and one isn't. And, you know, other years, all more competitive.
Yeah, and the only thing that's never random is if I'm the commish, is the fact that I like to split you and I up.
Yeah. So, we have to make sure we're not in the same division. Because I think we're in the same one for basketball. So, we need to make sure that we're in different divisions just because. But we'll see. So are you excited about your movie? Have you seen Remember the Titans before?
No, I haven't. You mentioned Denzel Washington, and I was trying to think of all the movies I've seen with him. But then I forget that he's not Wesley Snipes, so. I don't remember the last Denzel Washington movie I've seen.
Because I've seen Remember the Titans on multiple occasions. So it's actually a movie I'll be interested to see what you think of it there. All right, well, the movie is called The Game and I Will Roll Out of Here. And I do love the movie that's talking about football day, but I'm going to all our five and six with conference. www.fullcomeradio.com. off, and you can listen to it anytime you want.
Sports Time Radio.